Well, good morning. Welcome to church today. Good to see you. Welcome to our church family that are online joining us today. By the way, just to let everybody know, especially our online community, as of July, we won't be hosting live online services because we're doing everything we possibly can to encourage people to be in the room. Everyone say in the room? To be in the room when we're conducting our gatherings together. So for online, as of July, what we'll be doing is putting up the sermon only, and that'll go up it'll go up after the service on our webpage, also our Facebook page and YouTube for those that wish to enjoy it after the service. Well, good to see you this morning. We're talking about the Holy Spirit and teaching about the Holy Spirit at the moment. We've been doing that for a few weeks now, and it's one of those subjects and topics and things that, you know, you just need to keep talking about in the modern day church, just to remind people that God wants to live inside of you. God wants to live inside of every single one of us as believers, and the truth and the reality and the teaching of the Holy Spirit is all about that fact. We're titling this series of sermons and conversations that we're having called Demystify. Everyone say demystify. Demystify. That's what we're trying to do. We're trying to demystify the Holy Spirit in terms of the understanding that some people have in regards to the Holy Spirit. I don't want it to be mysterious. How many of you have ever heard the Holy Spirit spoken of in mysterious ways? Come on, we have, in mysterious ways, by people that teach about it, by people that preach about it, by people that tell us about their experiences and things that you've seen over the decades take place in church life. There's a lot of mysterious things when it comes to the Holy Spirit. I love that song that we sing in church from time to time called the Doxology, about what we believe, because it's a statement of the beliefs of the church that, you know, I believe in God the Father, I believe in God the Son, I believe in the Holy Spirit, I believe in God's holy church, in holy communion, all the things that we hold dear to and hold precious to. And I think what God is really wanting to do in this moment in church life, and it seems like this thought is getting out right across the world and spectrum of churches, as far as I'm aware, is he really wants to focus on the Holy Spirit right now. Really wants to return to an understanding in the church, particularly the contemporary church, about the Holy Spirit, so we don't lose that, so the future generations don't lose the truth and the reality of the person of the Holy Spirit. You know, many people have aspects of confusion when it comes to their understanding or application of a practical relationship with the Holy Spirit in terms of who he is and in terms of what he actually does in our lives and how he moves life forward for every single one of us. And so what I'm endeavoring to do, my goal during this series, is to kind of take away the cloudiness and bring some clarity, take away the mystery and bring some very practical understanding. You'll notice that when Jesus taught, he was really practical. He didn't use big fancy words and terms. He used practical stories to apply the truth of what he was trying to speak about. And so today I'm not going to make it deep. I'm going to make it real, and I'm going to make it personal, and I'm going to make it practical for every one of us so we can all grasp it and not go away with confusion. You know, I've heard a lot of people speak about the Holy Spirit in my time. I sat through years of lectures in Bible college as professors taught me about the person of the Holy Spirit. And it seems that a lot of people that speak about the Holy Spirit do it in a mysterious way. Like they have some special relationship with the Holy Spirit that seems unattainable to the rest of us in the cheap seats. It's like we can't grasp it because it's so out there. And I want you to know the Holy Spirit is not far from you. In actual fact, he's inside of you if you're a believer in Jesus Christ. And I want to illuminate the truth that you can have a personal, deep, practical relationship with the Holy Spirit that's not weird. Everyone say, not weird. Not weird. Not spooky. In our church, I don't want us to talk about the Holy Spirit in a spooky way or a weird way. I'm not wanting to promote that in any sense. But here's a thought. Just because we don't understand it doesn't mean it's weird. Just because we don't understand it doesn't mean it's spooky. It just means we don't understand it. So I'm going to try and demystify the mystery around the Holy Spirit and personalize it. Because this is what I believe about the Holy Spirit. I don't believe that the Holy Spirit is spooky. I believe people are spooky. That's what I believe. Who's ever met a spooky person? Come on. Here's the deal. If you're spooky before you become a believer, guess what you are after you become a believer? You're still spooky. If you're weird before you became a believer, guess what you are after you become a Christian? You're still weird. If you're weird and spooky before you receive the baptism and the Holy Spirit, then guess what you are after you've received the Holy Spirit? You're still weird and spooky. And so God's got to deal with our weird and spooky. He really does. Look at your neighbor. No, don't. Look straight ahead. He's got a deal. He's got a deal with the weird and the spooky. The baptism in the Holy Spirit is not an excuse to be weird. It's not an excuse to be spooky and mystical about things. The fact that he's termed the Holy Ghost, it sounds weird, doesn't it? Holy Ghost. It's kind of like, who grew up reading Casper the Friendly Ghost and watching that as a cartoon? Well, it's nothing like that when it says the Holy Ghost. It literally means spirit. The Bible says God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So last week we focused on these truths and we learned this. This is what we established last week, that the Holy Spirit is the invisible presence of God. The invisible presence of God that lives inside of every believer and fills and empowers the life of every believer. We learned last week that the spiritual journey that we're on with God, that's established through the work of Jesus Christ dying on the cross for our sins and our believing in that, that that's established, and it starts with the work of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the one that draws us. The Holy Spirit is the one that begins this spiritual journey of knowing God, loving God, and believing in God. Then we learned that the spiritual journey that we're on continues as we're empowered by the Holy Spirit. There's an empowerment. There's a fire that God wants to bring into every one of our hearts and lives. And on the day of Pentecost, in the book of Acts, in the New Testament, when the Holy Spirit was poured out as Jesus had promised and said it would in what's called the upper room, when the disciples gathered and they prayed and they just waited and waited and waited for this promise to turn up. When it turned up, it came with literal fire, and the presence of God was manifested with fire, and it says they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and they began to speak in other tongues, and they were empowered at that moment to be God's witnesses. You know, every person in this room is charged to be a witness. Not just those with bold, brash, audacious personalities, but even those with the shyest, most conservative personalities are called and empowered to be a witness by the way you live, by the way your life shines, by your words, by your deeds, by your generosity, by your lavishness, by your kindness to other people, that you can show them the life of God empowered by the Holy Spirit. We learnt last week that it was normal in the New Testament of the Bible for believers to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. It was normal. It wasn't weird. It wasn't abnormal. It was normal. Everywhere Paul went, he prayed for people to receive the baptism in the Holy Spirit and speaking with other tongues. Somewhere along the line in church history, we lost this. We lost normal. We lost normal. And today churches are categorized by whether they believe in the Holy Spirit or not. For instance, we're what's termed a Pentecostal church, which means we believe in the Holy Spirit. We believe in miracles. We believe in God's present activity in our lives in a practical way. We believe in speaking in tongues as you're filled with the Holy Spirit. We still believe that. Why do we believe that? Because it's in the Bible. That's why we believe that, because it's in the Bible. It's a promise. It's a gift given, the Bible says, for every one of us, for all those that are called, all those that are afar off. You know, in the Old Testament of the Bible, that's the first part of the Bible. In the Old Testament of the Bible, the Holy Spirit would come and go in the lives of God's people. Meaning this, he would come upon people's lives for a moment, for a special activity. for a special thing, a special purpose, a special season. The Holy Spirit would come and go in terms of activity in people's lives. And we see this happening over and over again in the Old Testament. However, in the New Testament, what we see after Jesus went to the cross and was resurrected, we see the Holy Spirit is always with us and he's always in us. I love that fact. Jesus said this in John 14. He said, I will ask the Father. He's speaking to his disciples. And he said, and he will give you another, everyone say this word, helper. He will give you another helper to be with you spasmodically. To be with you if you're good enough. To be with you if you go to church every week. To be with you if you tithe. To be with you if you have no sin. No, to be with you, say this, forever. To be with you forever. Jesus said the Holy Spirit would be our helper and he would be with us forever, and says he dwells with you and he will be in you. Point to your neighbor and say, in you, in you, in you, in you. You get the Holy Spirit. You get the Holy Spirit. You get the Holy Spirit. Come on. You get the Holy Spirit. Jesus did it better than Oprah will ever do it. Under every seat, there is Holy Spirit for every one of us. Every one of us. It's a gift given. It's not a prize earned. He's a gift given. You know, Jesus mentions three specific functions of the Holy Spirit in John 14 about what the Holy Spirit does and how he works in our lives in terms of how we enjoy the work of the Holy Spirit as he moves life forward for every one of us. This is what he says. These things I have spoken to you while I am still with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and he will bring to remembrance all that I have said to you. So he will be our helper, he will be our teacher, and he will be our reminder. There's three things I want you to go away with today. Three things I want you to have as take homes. Three things I want you to walk away understanding very quickly and clearly this week about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is your helper. The Holy Spirit is your teacher. And the Holy Spirit is your reminder. That's what he does. Three straightforward, straight up, simple truths that Jesus said about the function of the Holy Spirit. So let's look at them this morning. The first one is the Holy Spirit is our helper. Anyone in the room could do us some help today? Come on. Anyone in the room needs some help today? We all do. We all need help. The Holy Spirit is our helper. Do you know the Holy Spirit is not just some nebulous presence that hovers around and descends on us to give us some kind of out-of-body experience with the Holy Spirit. And yet that's the way sometimes the Holy Spirit is presented to us. That's what he does. Jesus presents the Holy Spirit very practically and says he will be your helper and he will live in you and he will be with you always. So the Holy Spirit is here to help us get beyond ourselves. Help us go further than we possibly can in our everyday, ordinary lives. He is here to help every one of us. So in other words, when your strength runs out, his strength kicks in. How many people are thankful for that today? When ours runs out, his kicks in. When our ability is realized, then his ability takes over at that point. When our natural comes to an end, his supernatural kicks in and takes over for every one of us. So Jesus presents him as our helper. It's literally the word that is, the transliteration of the original word is the word paraclete. And it means this, it means he's our counselor. He's our counselor. He'll bring counsel into your life. He's our comforter. He's the one that has empathy towards what we're experiencing. He's our intercessor. He's praying with us. He's praying for us. He's praying on our behalf. He's our advocate. He's our voice. He's our voice. He speaks up on our behalf. You know, there's so much that the Holy Spirit does for every one of us. on a daily basis, and we don't even realize it. The Holy Spirit for us is the one that wants, he's the one that quietens our flesh when our flesh wants to scream out. Does your flesh ever want to scream out? Come on, does it ever want to complain? Does it ever want to criticize? Does it ever want to just let it out and let everybody know? That's what your flesh wants to do. Well, your Holy Spirit is your counselor in that moment. He's your helper, your comforter, your intercessor, your advocate in that moment when your flesh is crying out. He's the one that brings you peace when you got trouble. When you got trouble. When you got turmoil, he's the one that brings the calm. He's the one that brings the calm. He's the reason you can walk in peace. He's the reason you can have it. He brings it into our lives. It's what he does. He helps us control ourselves. Come on. The Holy Spirit helps us discipline ourselves. He brings a sense of control to us and to our flesh. He protects us. He empowers us. He unleashes us. He releases us to be a witness for Jesus. He helps us in our struggles. He helps us in our weaknesses. He helps us in our tests and our temptations. He helps us to harness our habits, and he presents amazing opportunities for us. You know, the Holy Spirit is your helper. He's not actually a hindrance in your world. He's actually a helper. So lean into him. You know, the Holy Spirit is so practical and present to help us to live well. He is literally the invisible person and presence of God, the third member of the Godhead, the Trinity, who lives inside of every one of us. I need the Holy Spirit, my helper. Anyone else need that? Come on, turn to your neighbor and say, you need help. You need help. You need help today. It's not a bad thing to admit you need help. It's not a bad thing to admit you're beyond yourself. It's not a bad thing to admit that I can't walk on the water. It's not a bad thing to admit, God, I need a miracle. It's not a bad thing to admit I need some comfort. I need an advocate. I need a voice to speak on my behalf. That's the Holy Spirit. The second thing the Holy Spirit does that Jesus said is that the Holy Spirit is our teacher. What's he teach us? Well, this is what Jesus said. He said, these things I've spoken to you, to the disciples, while I am still with you. The Holy Spirit will teach you all things and bring to remembrance all that I have said. So when Jesus said the Holy Spirit will teach you all things, he doesn't mean he's going to teach you everything there is to teach. He says he's going to teach you what I've taught you. He's going to teach my word. He's going to make the word of God come alive. You know who illuminates the word of God when you read it and who makes a thing, the word pop and revelation to come? That's the Holy Spirit. That's what he does. He shines light on everything that Jesus does and everything that Jesus is in our life. So he reinforces, he undergirds, he highlights God's word for us. And so one of the ways that the Holy Spirit teaches us is, or helps us, is to teach us everything that God wants us to know. He doesn't teach us just any old thing. He doesn't teach us stuff that is not practical and is not helpful. He teaches us stuff that has relevance for our life and for our future. You know, a lot of people teach things that are spooky, that are weird, that are mystical. Well, the Holy Spirit is none of that. He is practical. He is spiritual. And when you're spiritual, you are always practical. I don't know where the church got that mixed up. I don't know where believers get that mixed up, thinking that the more spiritual you are, the more disconnected you are. The more spiritual you are, the more unrelatable you are. The more spiritual you are, the more untouchable you are. That's a confusion. In actual fact, the more spiritual you are, the more relatable you are. The more spiritual you are, the more practical you are. The more spiritual you are, the more touchable you are. You've only got to look at the life of Jesus. And the life of Jesus is exactly what the Holy Spirit wants to promote to us. And so the Holy Spirit only teaches stuff that's going to help you grow. He teaches things that are going to help make you stronger. In other words, he'll work on your blind spots. He'll work on your blind spots. He'll work on your jealousy. He'll work on your pride. He'll work on your strife. He'll work on your selfishness and your envy. Am I preaching to anybody today? He will. He'll work on all of these practical areas in our lives. He'll work on our anger. He'll work on our moods. He'll work on our vulnerabilities. He'll work in our insecurities. Anybody got them? He'll work in all of these practical areas. He'll work on our nature, our human nature. He'll work on our attitude. He'll challenge you about that. He'll work on our thinking and our thoughts. He'll work on our language. He'll work on people that swear. He'll work on those things. He'll work on our sin. It says the Holy Spirit will judge the world of their sin. And so the Holy Spirit does a lot of practical things in our lives. He's not only our helper, he's our teacher. He is our teacher. What the Holy Spirit does for me as a preacher is the Holy Spirit takes what I preach and I teach, and he preaches it and he teaches it. I thank God that I've got the Holy Spirit when I preach, because I need God when I preach and when I teach. Because often when I preach and I teach, people hear a different word to what I preach and teach, because the Holy Spirit's preaching and teaching to you at the same time that I'm teaching and preaching to you. I never cease to be amazed how the Holy Spirit takes some simple things that I say and he hits people's hearts. And people come up to me after a service and they'll say, "Pastor, that was amazing. You spoke just to me today, just to my circumstance, just to my situation. We were having that conversation yesterday, and it's like you were sitting there and you knew. How did you know to say what you said?" And I always say, I didn't and I don't, but the Holy Spirit does. He knows what you need. He knows what's going on. He knows the strife, the trouble, the testings, the trials. He knows the things that are around our world. He knows the heartache for every one of us. It's the Holy Spirit that is our teacher. You know, the Holy Spirit's teaching creates the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. And you've all heard about the fruit of the Spirit. It's in Galatians 5. It's what the Holy Spirit wants to produce in our lives. And here Paul writes, he says, the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. That's the fruit God's looking for. So if I was to be a fruit inspector today, what would I see in your tree? What would I see in your tree? Can I say this about the fruit of the Spirit? The fruit of the Spirit is still the fruit of the Spirit. It doesn't change. It doesn't matter how mature the church becomes, how big a church becomes, how prominent a church becomes. The fruit of the Spirit and the work of the Spirit is still the fruit of the Spirit and the work of the Spirit. So the Holy Spirit's looking for love in our lives. He's looking for joy in our lives. He's looking for peace. He's looking for patience. That hurts, doesn't it? Looking for kindness. You know, the church should be the most kind community there is. He's looking for kindness. He's looking for goodness. He's looking for faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. So the Holy Spirit wants to lead us in the fruit of the Holy Spirit. The goal of the Holy Spirit's teaching is the fruit of the Spirit that continues to work in our lives. And so he deals with the roots so he can deal with the fruit. So he deals with what's going on in the ground. He deals with what goes on in the hidden places of the heart so that he can improve the fruit for every one of our lives, because he wants us to be better people. He wants us to be better people. Can I go to a verse? I want to go to a verse in the Bible that's a mystical verse that people throw at me from time to time as a preacher. So I want to throw it at you today before you throw it at me, because some people in their minds are throwing this at me right now. So I'm going to go there. 1 John 2:26. Listen to this. It says, "I am writing these things." This is what the Apostle John writes to the church. He says, "I'm writing these things to warn you about those who want to lead you astray." So he's told us why he's writing. He's writing because there's false teachers in the church. He's writing because there's people teaching that want to lead them astray from the gospel of grace, from the gospel of believing that Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins to be set free and make you a new person. So there are people in the church at this time, they were called Gnostics. They believed in a different level of spiritual revelation beyond the word of God that resulted in all kinds of weird and spooky and mystical practices within and around the church. And John writes very strongly as an apostle. You know, the thing I love about the apostles in the Bible is this, is they never stepped away from confronting bad truth. In other words, error. They never stepped away from challenging it and speaking to it and writing to it. And so John writes to protect the church. And he says, I write these things to warn you about those who want to lead you astray. Now listen to what he says. He says, but you have received the Holy Spirit and he lives within you. He's saying the same thing as Jesus. So you don't need, listen to this. I don't want you to get this wrong. You don't need anyone to teach you what is true. For the Spirit teaches you everything you need to know. And what he teaches is true. It is not a lie. So just as he has taught you, remain in fellowship with Christ. Do you know what some people have done with this verse where it says you don't need anyone to teach you because the Holy Spirit teaches you? Some people take that verse and they say, I don't need to go to church. I don't need to go to church. That's not what John is saying. They use it to say, well, I don't need a pastor to teach me. That's not what John is saying. They say, I don't need a teacher to teach me because I have the Holy Spirit to teach me. That's not what John is saying. That's an error. That's an untruth. That's wrong interpretation of the scripture to respond that way and to believe that. It's not what John is saying in this verse. The Holy Spirit does not teach against the Word of God. And the Word of God teaches that pastors, that teachers, and other ministry gifts are given as a gift to the church. Why? To pastor, to teach, to prepare the people for the works of the ministry and the good things that God has designed for us to do. So why would the Word of God say we need pastors, we need teachers, we need evangelists, we need prophets, we need apostles, that we need these gifts, and then for John to say, no, we don't need anyone to teach us. He's not using it as weaponry to say, let's get isolated, let's get separated. In actual fact, he's saying it so that they would remain in fellowship with Christ. In other words, they would remain in the church. What John is doing is he's addressing false teaching within the church, those that were leading people astray. False teachers that denied Jesus Christ as Savior and Messiah, and they denied that Jesus had come in the flesh. And John writes to the church and says, you've received the Holy Spirit, and he lives within you, and you don't need anyone to teach you what is true. In other words, he's saying, you don't need anyone to come along and teach you another truth. You don't need anyone to teach you another truth. A truth that they think is beyond the truth that what the apostles had presented and preached. You don't need a new truth. The Holy Spirit teaches us to remain connected, to remain in fellowship with Christ, to remain in God's holy church and not to depart from it. So John's not saying we don't need teachers anymore. We don't need preachers anymore. He's saying the Holy Spirit, that anointing that's in us, that anointing that's on us, he is in us and on us to protect us from those that try to deceive us. That's where, you know, there's safety in numbers. Safety in numbers. I watched a documentary last night on David Attenborough. You know, the guy who does all the nature stuff. And I love that. I love the camera work of what they do. And they're in the Amazon jungles and where it rains. It's the wettest part of the earth and just rains like crazy. And these little fire ants had to cross the flooded river. And, I mean, how do you do that when you're just one ant? It's impossible. You're going to drown. And they show this little ant trying to go out on the flooded water and he's in big trouble. So he kind of gets back because he can't swim real good. He gets back with his little ant eggs to the legs, to the safety of the shore, and all the ants gather and they huddle together and they build a raft out of ants and they put the queen in the middle because the goal is to protect the queen and get the colony down the river to safety. And just showing it on camera how it all works, this raft of ants pulling together. And when a predator would come, one of the ants would be out there with their ant clippers and just whack it on the leg like that to chase it away. And if an ant fell off the raft, guess what the other ants did? They helped her get back on the raft. And I looked at that and thought, you know what happens in church all the time is some ant falls off. Yeah. And sometimes the other ants don't even notice. No wonder the Bible says, consider the ants. Consider the ants. Consider the ants. There's something about keeping it together. And that's what John was writing to the church for, because there were people that were coming and splintering the church because of their so-called higher revelations and understandings and whatever. The Holy Spirit's your protector. He's here to teach you. So if you ever hear someone say, I don't need to go to church, I don't need a teacher because I'm filled with the Holy Spirit, you need to say, you got that wrong. You got that wrong. That's not what the Bible says. 1 Corinthians 2:9 says, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, and no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those that love Him. But it was to us that God revealed these things by His Spirit. Part of what the Holy Spirit does, He's a revealer. He's revealed it to us by His Spirit. For His Spirit searches out everything and shows us God's deep secrets. Who in the room likes to hear secrets? Come on. Let me tell you a secret. God's got some deep things He wants to tell you. And the only way He's going to tell you is by the Holy Spirit revealing it to you. And the Holy Spirit reveals it in alignment with the Word of God and in the Word of God and through the Word of God. That's how it comes. That's what the deep secrets of God are, the mysteries of God's Word. He opens up understandings about who God is and how God works. And we want more and more of that. I want to know the secrets of God. I want to know the mysteries of God. I want to know the secrets of life. I want to know the deep secrets of life and the deep secrets of mystery. Anyone else out there want to know the secrets? If you want to know the secrets, let the Holy Spirit be your helper. Let the Holy Spirit be your teacher. And then thirdly and lastly, Jesus said the Holy Spirit is our great, He's our reminder. He's our reminder. Anyone in the room need to be reminded of anything? Especially the older you get. You know, the older you get, you just, like I walk into a room and I think, what am I doing here? I came here for some reason. Why am I walking down to the car? Where am I going? Who am I? So many things, the older you get, you have senior moments. You have senior moments. I had a senior moment this week. I thought I'd paid my rates bill for the Logan City Council, because I had my Logan City rates account and I had a number written on there, a reference number that, you know, when you ring up and you pay on your credit card, they give you a reference number. Had a reference number on there and it circled it and the date and that it was all paid and good, and I'd went away for a few days. Came back and I'd got a letter from the Logan City Council as a reminder. See, they think they're my reminder. They wrote me a reminder. And the reminder said, your rates bill's not paid, so you'll be charged interest, which, oh, that's my pet hate, getting charged interest for anything. Bad enough having to pay the thing in the first place, let alone having to pay interest. And so I did what Tony does. I jumped on the phone. I rang Logan City Council. I explained the situation point by point to the young lady who was on the other end of the phone. She was very gracious. And I said to her, I said, I paid this bill on this date. I have the receipt number. This has never happened before. I don't know how it's happened. I don't know what went wrong with your system. You can imagine me doing this, couldn't you? With your system. Really making my point. And but I said, I can give you the receipt number. And she said, well, we'll investigate it. If you put that all down in writing, just put it into an email, Mr. Sorry, we'll investigate that. Tell us of your good record. You've never missed a payment before. Rah, rah, I'm sure they'll be gracious to you. So I got straight away on and started typing an email. And as I'm typing the email, I type in the reference. I've got reference number, not receipt number. I write in the reference number for the account and then also the reference number for the receipt. And I noticed that those two numbers were exactly the same. So I realized that what had happened was I'd made the call. I'd 3/4 paid the bill, but you've got to press 1 at the end of the call to make the bill payment go through and you get a receipt number that is totally different from the reference number. But my reference number and receipt number were both the same. So halfway through the email, after giving them a blast, I had to say, I'm sorry. I just realized what I did. I had a senior moment. Excuse me, I'm nearly 59. And I had a senior moment. And I thought I'd paid the bill, but I haven't actually paid the bill. So could you please still give me my discount? And don't charge me interest. Because I've never been late with a payment. You know, getting a reminder. Like I had a reminder this morning to get out of bed. Because it's Sunday and I get up super early on a Sunday. And I never want to be late on a Sunday. So I set my reminder the night before and I go to bed early. And that reminder wakes me up and I hate it every single time. Wakes me up. Reminders. I have reminders in my diary that go ping, ping, ping all the time. 10 minutes before I have an appointment. Every conversation I'm going to have. Every appointment I'm going to have. Every email I've got to do. There's a reminder. My life is full of reminders. So is yours. But above every other reminder you have, there's one reminder that Jesus said that is really here to help you, and that's the Holy Spirit. He's here to be your reminder. Why? Because we forget things. You know, humans have a tendency to forget. Some people have already forgotten what I said earlier. Some people have already left this sermon and left this service. The Holy Spirit is the one that brings things to our reminder. You know, a dedicated believer probably attends about 50 services a year, reads their Bible, attends a few conferences maybe here and there, listens to a few podcasts, a few sermons, reads a few books. And it's easy to think when you're a dedicated believer that it's not actually helping. It's not actually moving life forward. It's not actually making a big difference because you're struggling to retain it. Like when you're a student. Like when I was a student, I studied so many things when I went to Bible college. And I thought, God, how am I ever going to remember this? How will I ever remember this stuff? The Greek, the Hebrew. How? The poetry of the Bible. When am I ever going to use that? And yet I find that 30 years later, so much of what I thought I'd forgotten, I remember. I remember. It pops up at the weirdest of moments. I'm reminded of it. I'm reminded of a truth. I'm reminded of verses I learned when I was a child in Sunday school. I'm reminded of it. I remember it. It's the Holy Spirit. He brings it to remembrance. I'll be talking to someone and I'll say something brilliant. Doesn't happen very often. Only when the Holy Spirit helps me. So if you're ever talking to me, you better be praying, Holy Spirit, help him. And the Holy Spirit helps me and I'll say something brilliant. It's because he's bringing it to my remembrance. Don't get discouraged because you think you can't remember it. If you need to remember it, God's going to make sure you're reminded of it. And there are some things you need to be reminded of. You need to be reminded of. You need to be reminded today of the goodness of God. Especially when it's a little bit difficult and hard and challenging in life. To be reminded that God is good and to remind yourself of that. Remind yourself of all the miracles that God's doing and done and will do in your life. Remind yourself that you are a miracle. Remind yourself of that. Remind yourself of the fact you've got the Holy Spirit living inside of you and abiding in you. You know, the good news is the Holy Spirit is here to remind us. When we place ourselves in the posture of exposing our hearts and minds to the Word of God, we'll be amazed at what just pops into our head, what pops into our heart at the right moment or in the right season. It'll shock you of the things that you recall, the truths, the verses, the teaching, the amazing sermon that your pastor preached. And you'll remember it and be able to use it in a story or in a moment to help someone. Where does it come from? It comes from the Holy Spirit. So we need to keep putting ourselves in a posture of learning and growing and developing and understanding so the Holy Spirit can remind us of what's being put inside of us. You know, the Holy Spirit can't remind you what you haven't learned. He can't remind you what you haven't learned. He's only going to teach you and remind you of the things that you've been taught by the Word of God and by the Holy Spirit. You know, the Holy Spirit, what I love about what I do is the Holy Spirit, he makes me look brilliant sometimes. Brilliant sometimes. because it reminds me of stuff I've heard or learnt that I forgot I'd learned. And the truth is, I remember it when I need it. I remember it when I need it. I need the Holy Spirit. I need the Holy Spirit. I want to raise our awareness. Will we stand to our feet? Why don't we stand to our feet right across the room? I want to raise our awareness to the person of the Holy Spirit. I want to raise our understanding that He is our helper. He is our teacher. He is our reminder. I want to take us to a whole new level of application in terms of the person of the Holy Spirit. He's my comforter. He's my counselor. He's my intercessor. He's my advocate. He's my strength. He's my friend. He's for me. He's not against me. He's in me. He's on me to help me do what God has called me to do. I'm so thankful for the person of the Holy Spirit today. I'm so thankful for the person of the Holy Spirit that lives inside of us, every one of us. I'm so thankful for the Holy Spirit in the church today and on the church today. I'm so thankful that we're Spirit-led. I'm so thankful that we're Spirit-fed. I'm so thankful that the Holy Spirit wants to empower us to fulfill the plans and the purposes of God. I can't do this journey without the Holy Spirit, and neither can you. Your family needs the Holy Spirit. Your children need the Holy Spirit. You need the Holy Spirit. Our church needs the Holy Spirit. There's things going on. There's things gone on. There's things going to happen in the future that we need the Holy Spirit to work in our lives for. There are people here today. You need God to turn what looks like a grave into a garden. Something that looks dead into something that is flourishing. Something that has died needs a resurrection. It needs some life today. Come on, that's the work of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the one that turns things around. Come on, the Holy Spirit is the one that brings life to us. The Holy Spirit is the one that births salvation to our souls. The Holy Spirit is the one that renews our minds as we devote ourselves to the Word of God. The Holy Spirit is the one that shines light on everything that Jesus did. The Holy Spirit is the one that helps us bring out praise when our flesh just wants to be silent. The Holy Spirit is the one that gives me a song when there is no tune to sing. The Holy Spirit is the one that helps me walk through the valley of the shadow of death and fear no evil. The Holy Spirit is the rewarder, my shield, my buckler. The Holy Spirit is my strong tower that I run into. The Holy Spirit is my protector. The Holy Spirit is my provider. The Holy Spirit is my faithful friend. My Holy Spirit is fearless. The Holy Spirit knows the beginning from the end. The Holy Spirit hovered over the waters when God created everything. The Holy Spirit hovers over life for every one of us. The Holy Spirit will be here right to the very end. The Holy Spirit has not left. The Holy Spirit has not left the room. When the Holy Spirit came in the upper room, He stayed in the room. He's in this room today. He's in every room today. The Holy Spirit's in your pain. The Holy Spirit's in your heartache. The Holy Spirit's in your hurt. He's your helper. He's your teacher. He's your reminder today. And I've come today just to remind you, don't neglect Him. Seek Him. Seek Him. Seek Him. Receive Him. Don't resist Him. Don't resist Him. Receive Him. Don't think Him questionable. Question Him and ask Him to come into your life. The Holy Spirit is a gift. He's a gift. He's not a reward. He's a gift. Salvation's a gift. The Holy Spirit's a gift. Come on, you got some things you've got to turn around today? You got some circumstances, some situations today? Got some dryness in your own heart and spirit today? Why don't we let God do something right now? Why don't we let God turn graves into gardens right now? Let's take a few moments just to lean in. Just worship the Lord today. Maybe you want to come down the front. You can come down the front if you want to come down the front today. Maybe you want a prayer to receive the baptism in the Holy Spirit.
Maybe you want God to come and fill you to overflowing today. Maybe you want to be filled afresh with the Holy Spirit today. Why don't you come? Stand down the front. We'll have some people come. Stand with you, pray with you, believe with you, fight with you today to receive the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Come on, let's lean and worship God.